Hey everybody. So this is a long time coming. We're back for a new show, by the way, after 2 months, and we are going to do a show today on a condition that causes paralysis that I don't even think we have done before. And so we are having someone on to explain what it's all about and her story with it. So hey, Shelby Lynn, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
So good, so good. Thanks for coming on this little podcast for Spinalpedia. As you know, we talk about all things paralysis all the time on our social media stuff, but I don't think enough attention is put on what causes paralysis in regards to what caused your paralysis. So why don't you kind of call, tell us about your injury story a little bit, and then we'll go from there. Yeah.
So I have something called transverse myelitis. I am a T6 complete paraplegic.
Okay.
For me, it was really crazy because transverse myelitis usually happens when a person gets sick and ends up getting inflammation in their spinal column.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that doesn't necessarily mean full paralysis.
Okay.
For a lot of people, it means that they can recover and that inflammation can go down and they can have the treatment that they need to be walking.
So do
That
you know what causes it? It seems like it happens just like out of the blue to people.
Yeah, it does. And so there's not a lot of research on it even. That's how not well known it is. There's not even much research on it. So for me, I was a special education teacher
Okay.
and I ended up having my immune system get hit really, really hard repeatedly. So I actually ended up leaving teaching because I was getting so sick so frequently. And about a month after I left teaching, I got extremely sick and nobody could figure out what was going on or anything.
What were your
And
symptoms? Well, what kind of symptoms were you experiencing?
so my partner brought home what we thought was a stomach bug. But for me, it turned into everybody else got better in 24 hours. I ended up being sick for 2.5 weeks.
My
I had
gosh.
a severe fever. I had the body aches. I had a cough. I was throwing up. I had the stomach symptoms, all of that.
Oh.
And it was miserable. It was miserable.
Oh. So,
But
okay, at that point, I mean, I guess most people would think they just had an extended flu or something, right? Is
yeah,
what you
that's what we
got?
thought too.
Yeah. So what did you end up going to do? Did you go to the hospital and then they diagnosed you, I'm assuming, or?
No, actually, it took a very long time to get my diagnosis, a scary long time, because not even the doctors knew what they were looking at. So, after about 2.5 weeks of being sick in November this last year, I started to recover, but I started having very strange symptoms. I was having a lot of numbness and tingling in my legs. I was having a lot of weakness, and it was just completely unexplained. So we ended up going to the doctor and they were like, well, let's get an MRI of your back and see what's going on. The MRI was scheduled for January 3rd. December 31st, I woke up, I walked my dog, I came back to bed, and boom, I was paralyzed.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you
So
go
my
to
New Year's Eve was a lot of fun.
were you conscious when like that occurred, or was it like did you go to sleep and then wake up, or
No, I was conscious. My partner and I were laying in bed watching TV, and I just looked over them at my partner and I was like, I can't feel my legs.
oh my gosh. Wow. And at that point, did you start panicking and call 911, or what do you do in that moment?
So at the time we were living way out in the country, it was going to take longer to get an ambulance to me than it would have taken to just drive me to the hospital.
My
So
God.
my partner physically picked me up and carried me to the car. We were trying to stay as calm as possible, but like that's really scary.
Especially if you didn't know in your mind what it could be, I bet at that point you
Yeah.
had no
Like
idea.
it was terrifying. And so December 31st, we went to the hospital that was closest to us. They were like, we don't have the equipment to even give you an MRI.
Oh no.
And so they ended up telling us, okay, you need to go to this other hospital that's like 45 more minutes away. Do you want us to have you go in an ambulance? And at the time, we had just gotten insurance and we did not have emergency transport insurance. So we were like,
Not included, by
no.
the way. That doesn't seem really normal, right? You're in Texas, just to make this clear, right? You're in rural Texas. Okay. Yeah, it's hard to get ambulances anywhere outside of metro areas. So,
Yes. So we ended up going into a hospital that was kind of in central Austin.
Okay.
And they very quickly admitted me, and they started running every test in the book.
Wow.
To try to figure out what was going on. That first night I had an MRI, and they were like, "We don't know. Your spine looks terrible, but we have no idea what's going on."
Bad doctors. Bad doctors.
Yes. So it actually took 3 more months to actually get a diagnosis.
Wow.
And about halfway through January, I started posting on TikTok, and I was like, "This is the situation. These are my symptoms. Does anyone know?
Are you kidding me? It took TikTok for you to get diagnosed."
Yes.
That really shows you how bad healthcare has gotten
yes.
in this country. Wowzers. I was assuming you went to a neurologist who kind of like said, "Hey, don't worry, Shelby Lynn, I got you."
Nope.
Wow. No. So was it like a person that had the same condition, or was it a doctor that saw you on TikTok?
There were some of both. And, you know, that first month where I was in the hospital, because I was in the hospital for a month, the entire month of January.
A long time.
I kept bringing this up to them after I had heard about it on TikTok, and the doctors were like, "No, we don't think it's that. We don't think it's that." And so I made a list, a 5-page list of everything people were saying on TikTok, and we went through everything. And they discharged me without a diagnosis.
Oh, this is terrible. This is a
yeah.
horrible story. And were you like in a wheelchair, so you couldn't even walk? So they just sent you home in a wheelchair, or how did that end up?
Yeah. So they actually tried to send me to rehab because obviously I now can't walk. What are we going to do?
Rehab? Did they think about rehab and everything? Were they doing that?
They had me doing physical therapy in the hospital, but my insurance was not willing to approve rehabilitation facilities without a diagnosis.
Oh my God, this is so weird.
And they also wouldn't give me a wheelchair without a diagnosis. So I ended up getting a loaner wheelchair.
Oh my God. Okay, she clearly is a paralyzed individual. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's really messed up. Wow.
And so the person who actually ended up kind of starting the process of figuring it out and getting me my diagnosis was my physical therapist.
No way.
I have seen a case like this before. I've looked at your MRIs. I really think this is what's going on. So he ended up conferencing several times with my primary care physician, and they ended up agreeing, like, "Yeah, this is what's happening. Why did no one catch this?"
This has to be it. They figured it out after, what do you say, 3.5 months or? Okay, there's a thunderstorm happening where I live, so in case you hear a boom, that's what's happening.
There's one here too, I understand. Crazy.
But that's a really, wow. And so, and just to be sure, so people who are listening understand, when you get transverse myelitis, it's an inflammation, right, of the spinal cord, and that's what causes the permanent damage, right? So on the MRI, what does it look like exactly? Just so people know what to look for.
It's kind of like normally your spinal column should look very clear on an MRI and an X-ray and all of that. But with the inflammation, it's kind of like it's smudgy almost.
Oh, like
so if you see smudginess in your spine on an MRI or X-ray, that shouldn't be there.
So were you, did you, I mean, this is a whole other thing, but did you consider legal action at all? I mean, considering.
I have been considering it. It's just not something that I'm in a place to take that step for quite yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You should consider it. I'm just putting that out there because that is pretty bad. And
geez
Louises. So I'm glad that you had the wherewithal to share your story on social media for the world to help you, because doctors nowadays really are not doing what they should be doing. Now, do you want to share, like, did you end up going to rehab? What was that like when you did, like, learn, like, because I think whenever I talk to people on here, I mean, after they, you know, you got your diagnosis, which is great, but transitioning into a person who's now a complete T6 paraplegic, it's pretty difficult. And you're,
it is.
Yeah. And you're newly injured. I mean, you seem to be doing pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. What can you share what it was like when you first got home? Like, cause I think that's such a hard transition, like showing up in your house in a wheelchair, you know?
So I have not gone to rehab at all.
Okay.
The extent of my rehabilitation was just physical therapy twice a week.
Oh, okay.
And so really and truly for me, coming home was very, very difficult because I was living in a 200-year-old house in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere, Texas. Yes. Whoa, did you get a ramp built at least? Did someone build you a ramp?
No. Nope. So we had two steps that went into the house that were both about 12 inches high. Oh. And my partner and I just had to kind of figure out how to make that work. And we ended up, there's a post beside at the corner of one of the steps. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up figuring out how to grab onto the post and just pull myself up in order to get up onto the little porch area. And then using the door frame to get into the door on my own. But it's not easy at all. And then, of course, our bathroom was not accessible. So I was doing everything kind of just at the kitchen sink as best as I could.
Yeah. So you're not even a year into your injury, right? Like, this is crazy.
About 10 months.
About 8 months, right? And how old are you? Like 27?
I am 24.
24. Wow. It's so cool that you were teaching, you know, before your injury. So, wow. I love it. You know, when you first like, are you planning on even doing any home renovations, I guess? Like, what's your plan? Are you going to stay where you're at?
So we are actually working on trying to move to Virginia because we have a support system out there.
That's
and
great.
And with everything that's happened, you know, my family seeing that I didn't have a diagnosis, they went straight to, well, you're just crazy.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not, unfortunately.
Tell me, no. Oh, no.
So
yeah.
We have kind of, over the course of events, ended up cutting ties with my family because it's what had to happen.
Yeah.
And we have a wonderful, wonderful support system out in Virginia. So we're looking at moving out there actually within the next month and a half.
Okay. Is the Virginia, how come the Virginia area is awesome? Is it the hospital that's out there or what's going on that you love out there?
So I'm actually polyamorous and have two partners out there.
Love it. Well, you know, I've had a couple friends over the years that are poly, but I think Virginia is just probably better in general too.
Oh yeah. And from talking to my partners who are out there, you know, anytime they've gone out since I became paralyzed, they're looking at things and paying attention to things in a way that they never have before. Good. And so them being able to report back like, hey, you can actually use the sidewalk to get from the place you're looking at moving into to the grocery store.
That's awesome.
Great.
Yeah. That's the one thing about, you know, having a disability, if they're, you know, the positives is you're really showing people another perspective, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really great that I guess that thing. So gosh, you know, I feel like I want to ask you so many questions. I don't even know where to start. So let's go. So when you moved to Virginia, how did you find accessible housing? Have you found housing yet?
We have not found housing yet.
Okay.
We have looked at a few places that I think will work just because my chair is so tiny.
Okay.
I have a 17-inch chair.
Oh my God.
So that means that I can fit through most door frames without
you work it. Yeah. You're young and you're still skinny, so one day you may have to have a bigger wheelchair. Now I love it.
Yeah,
in there. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, moving across the country is always a big deal when you're in a wheelchair, so I hope that you do find a place that you love. And I know. And so can you tell us a little bit, this is a little different from what we were talking about, but your poetry, it sounds like something that I feel like people maybe want to hear about, because, you know, poetry is healing and you can talk about what you've gone through. And, you know, I don't think enough people really appreciate poetry anymore.
They don't. And it's kind of made a comeback in recent years a little bit thanks to Button Poetry, who does spoken word competitions. Ooh. If you have not looked into them, I highly, highly, highly recommend, because they are amazing.
What is this Button Poetry?
Yeah, so they do slam poetry, and they have a YouTube channel and everything, and they basically take recordings of poets speaking their poetry, and then they share that online, and that's kind of really helped rejuvenate the poetry movement in recent years.
So were you involved in writing poetry before your accident or your injury? Sorry.
Yeah. So I've been writing poetry since I was about 12 years old. Okay. I have one book published and a second one in the works.
Whoa. What's your first book called?
I actually have it right here because I had a feeling this was going to come up. It's called This Life, and it is available on Amazon.
Nice.
This collection of poetry was kind of just a collection of a hodgepodge of things that I wrote over the years.
Okay.
His was published in, I believe, 2019.
So before your disability.
Yeah.
So what would you find, like, what kind of poems were, what kind of, what was the theme or the topics that you're talking about?
Kind of just life. And in my life, I've been through a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
So it just was very important to me to share the poetry that I wrote through that trauma as a means of making sure people know that they're not alone.
Yeah,
because it can be so, so isolating to deal with domestic violence and traumas along those lines.
Do you want to read us a passage, possibly, from your book?
I actually have, my favorite poem is in this book.
Okay.
Let me find it really quick. The last one in here.
It's so fun to hear the author actually read the words that they wrote. I prefer
it. It is.
Yeah.
So this poem is called Beauty, and I wrote it at a time in my life when I was feeling very, very low, and I didn't have much self-confidence.
Oh.
And so it's just kind of about that.
Okay.
So it's called Beauty.
Let's hear it.
What is beauty? Beauty is a smile that lights up her eyes. Beauty is a child sleeping through the night. Beauty is a couple holding each other tight. Beauty is waking in the night because of a good dream. Beauty is the sun and the moon. Beauty is the birds and the trees and the leaves of green. And beauty is you. You are beauty. You are not those things that you tell yourself, fat, ugly, crazy, lonely, hideous. You're none of those. You're just a butterfly wrapped in its cocoon, just a firework before it bursts. You are the beauty, not the beast. You are the swan, not the ugly duckling. You will never know your full potential till you see what I see. Someone strong, someone courageous, special, caring, sweet, but most of all, someone beautiful. So put down the looking glass. Stop saying mirror, mirror on the wall. There is no fairest of them all. We are all the fairest if you know what to look for. So look for the beauty, look for the strength, but find your truth. Let it be beautiful. Let it be true. Because what is beauty but a word? Why does one word hold so much power over so many people? Beauty is not on the skin level, but it's in the mind and the bones. Beauty comes from within. Beauty is courage. Beauty is strength. Beauty is being unique and strong, but most of all, beauty is being you.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And you know, that's like really kind of makes more sense too when you think about all the self-conscious stuff you go through when you have a disability. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It kind of resonates, I think, for people that have a lot of issues with
it. Is it does,
you know, I love it. That's so cool. So have you written like anything since you've become a wheelchair user and stuff that have you been inspired at all to write more?
I have. So actually right before in December, right before I became paralyzed, I had signed a publishing contract. So I do have a second book in the works.
Cool.
And my lens in terms of writing poetry has kind of shifted because I've always written about like life and the things that happen.
Yeah.
But now I have this whole new event to write about. So the plan is eventually to get enough poetry together to be able to share kind of this new chapter of my life in its own book.
That would be a huge thing. And you should absolutely do that. I encourage you to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about your fashion, if you don't mind?
Sure.
I love it. I love it. You know, I think it takes a lot of time usually for people to figure out how to dress.
And it does.
Dress. And you've done it pretty quickly, girl. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I think so. You know, can you share a few tips or how did you figure it out so quickly?
So I'm not really sure, to be honest. I've kind of just, you know, my partner has an amazing fashion sense.
Okay.
And, you know, my partners who are long distance and living in Virginia are also very supportive in terms of trying to find things and pieces that will work for me because jeans are a nightmare. They are.
Everything is different. Like, you know, when you're sitting and you have jeans, yeah. I don't wear jeans either.
Yeah. And so I have very, very long legs to the point where whenever I was doing my seating assessment for my new chair, they had to measure four times to make sure they were the correct length.
They did.
Yeah, so it's very hard to find pants that actually fit
Yes.
my legs.
So do you have to constantly search for like extra long inseams, that kind of thing?
I try to, but
Yeah.
also it's kind of just been about embracing, things aren't going to fit the same, and that's okay.
Okay.
And, one of my favorite pieces to wear is actually a button-up skirt that has buttons all the way down the front. And that is so easy for me just because, like, pulling things up is such a challenge. And with that skirt, I can completely unbutton it so that it's just one flat piece of fabric, lay down on top of it, and then button.
Smart. Wow. There's not many places I've seen that. Where did you buy your skirt from?
I think I got it from Walmart.
Cool. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. I love that. So yeah, I wear a lot of long skirts too. I feel like they look cuter, and they make you look just it's more comfortable too. So you got rid of all your jeans then. You don't wear any stretchy kind of fake jeans or anything.
I still have a few pairs that I wear from time to time, but for the
Okay.
most part, it's just so much easier to wear those stretchy, softer fabrics. And
Yeah.
then also, the buttons don't cut into your stomach and all of
I
that.
know. I
Which,
can't
no,
feel it. Yeah,
it's not
you can't
fun.
feel that. So can you then sensation wise that I bet it's been difficult because you don't can you feel at least where your jeans are if they're too tight, I guess, or your pants? I know for me I can. It's very scary sometimes. It's like,
It is.
there's a mark on my body, right? Ooh.
Yeah. And then, of course, the fear of pressure source is always there as
Yep.
well. So my
Yeah.
sensation is about just below where the bra line is on
Okay.
my ribs. So I
Yep.
can't feel anything below that.
Yeah, no, that's tough. That's very tough. Well, you've been,
Yes.
I mean, and I, this, it's been, it's great to see, you're younger. I think a lot of times people nowadays, when they're younger, like yourself, they have access to social media. And did that really help you? I already know it did with TikTok, but just seeing other people live their lives as wheelchair users, was that like a, did that help you a lot too?
Absolutely, especially because, I didn't have rehab.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Yeah.
anybody in a wheelchair.
You didn't
And
even go to one thing and meet other people. That's right.
no. So I ended up going pretty much straight onto social media and being like, okay, what can I learn from here? And
Yeah.
then just kind of figuring things out my own way, in addition to using things that other people have posted and shared in order to help me learn more.
You should hang out with the Rolettes in
I
California.
would love to.
I
They are
think
amazing.
they are amazing. I can see you out there at their meetup one year. They do it, I think, every July or something like that. And yeah, it's like a big female empowered dance meetup. And I'm like,
It would be amazing.
yeah, when I was in my 20s as a girl in a chair, that would have been everything to me. Chelsea Hill is so cool. I'm so glad she's doing that for people. But you should get into that. So are you interested in any like adaptive sports at all? Have you tried hand cycling or anything like that?
So I am before way back when I was a teenager. I swam competitively. And so, whenever I got out of the hospital, one of the first things that I wanted to do was get back in the water. Because
Awesome.
for me, the water brings just so much peace.
Yeah.
And I just love the freedom of being in the water, even
Yep.
before I was a paraplegic.
Yep. Yep.
So,
It's great. Light, this the lightweightness, right? In the water.
yes, it's wonderful. And so, shortly after I got out of the hospital, we ended up going swimming and it was amazing.
Oh,
And
where did you go since you weren't able to go to a traditional rehab like pool then? What did you
we
do?
just used the Y,
Okay,
the
perfect.
YMCA. Yeah.
Yep.
And so with that, I'm actually working towards trying to go to the Paralympics in 4.5 years.
Yes, you are. You freaking right. You should do that. Yes. What kind of stroke are you thinking about?
So I've kind of always done the freestyle best.
Okay.
I have done the breaststroke in the past, but it
Hard.
is so much harder now
Hard.
because
I
there's
can't
no.
imagine. You know that chest, right? The pull your body out of the water.
Yes, it's very, very difficult. So what I've been trying kind of
Good.
practicing with is just freestyle.
I love it. You should totally do it, man. I mean, Paralympics are great, and it really is a serious competition. Not everyone really understands that. It's serious. It's not like there's giving everybody free medals, you know what I mean? Like it's serious competition, so you should definitely do that. And so before I let you go, I'm kind of still a little bit sad that you didn't get any rehab therapy, whatever you want to call it. Do you is it in your view, like do you want to do that at some point, or what's are you going to try to fight for getting some rehab once you go to Virginia maybe?
I would definitely consider it. I feel like at this point, though, since I've kind of figured most things out on my own,
kind of
I would
have.
probably try to do more like outpatient rehab.
And you figured out your transfer and like all your self-care is on your own. That is amazing. I'm impressed. Yes. I'm impressed.
So I definitely think that there is huge benefit to potentially considering that down the line, but not necessarily full-time like you would do straight out of the hospital.
All right. You know, you can go even years after and get stronger or whatever, you know, or learn new skills if you feel like you need to, you know, but I love it. I think for a lot of people out there that are listening, maybe, you know, it's cool to know that you can, if you have to do it at home. It's not really ideal, but you know, did you get to work at home, like weights and all that too? And like exercise machines or at all?
We have not. I have a couple of resistance bands that I was given in physical therapy and then a single dumbbell. That's about it. But
I'm just
figuring things out and making them work as best as I can on my own.
Okay. Well, and also now we have a few minutes left. Now, what are your plans? I know you're 24. You're going to write hopefully more poetry. Are you going to go to school, or are you just going to go back into teaching, or what's your plans that way in the next year or so?
So I've been really trying to figure that out, and I'm not quite sure yet. Just playing things by ear and seeing what happens.
Yeah, you go with your gut, you know? Go to Virginia and see what you feel like you want to do, you know? And it's hard, you know, at any age to kind of decide if you want to work for yourself, work for somebody else, go to school, yada, yada, yada. There's so many options
now. I've tried to find jobs several times over the last several months, and it is so hard to get a job as a paraplegic.
Are you getting judged by your wheelchair? Is that what's
going on? Oh, absolutely. I have had interviewers hang up on me when they find out I'm a paraplegic.
Oh, no. Okay.
It has been awful.
You and I should talk more about this, because that is like a whole other topic. That's really frustrating. Okay, so if
it's
someone wants to get... It's not fair, and it's illegal, by the way. Super illegal.
Yes, it is.
Okay. If some people or anyone listening, if they want to check out your poetry and your awesome photos of your clothes, where can they find you on TikTok and Instagram?
So TikTok, Instagram is probably the best place to find me. And I'm at, let me double check and make sure I tell you the right thing.
I know, right?
It is poetry_on_wheels.
I love it. Yep. Cool.
That's
best
place to find me and keep up with me.
All right. And you're not doing more TikToks then? Because sometimes people like TikTok, but you're not on there?
I'm on there occasionally, but just not as much.
All right. Well, then we'll send people to your IG then. I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's so good to have someone on to share their story of transverse myelitis. Say it wrong every time. But yeah, I'm glad. And it's completely gone, by the way. It's just now you're left with this injury. So, so such a strange situation, isn't it? I know. Well, I'm so impressed by you, Shelby Lynn. And I love your name, Shelby Lynn. It reminds me of Steel Magnolias a little bit. I'm like, Sheldon. But yes, thank you for joining us. And I hope you can find some work up in Virginia, and good luck with your move. Okay.
Thank you so much. And it's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, thank you again. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Bye, Shelby Lynn.